Well, I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
It's been a beautiful day.
Amen.
Getting a little bit of rain. Could use a lot more, but we're thankful for what we can get.
Right.
Amen. Tonight we're going to go back to the Word of God Psalm in Psalm 119, and as we open the Word of God once again, we're going to explore tonight how that God's Word fuels hope in our hearts, which in turn fuels our heart cries to God. We're going to be looking tonight at hope-fueled heart cries, and where David cried out with his whole heart tonight. Recall last couple of weeks in our study here in the Word of God Psalm, we looked a couple of weeks ago at heart longings, how David's heart longed after God. He longed for the Word of God, and he longed for God's face, and longed that others would know him. It was a psalm that dealt with his heart desires. And then last week we looked at zeal for God's Word, and this is another area that deals with the heart. And zeal is something that comes from your heart, something that you are very zealous about. It consumes, a zeal consumes you. Remember David said that my zeal had consumed me. And so it consumed his heart and his life. But tonight, we're going to be looking at the hope-fueled heart that cries out to God. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 119, if you are not there yet, we're going to look at 145 through 152. 145 to 152. It says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Father, tonight we come before you. We thank you for this wonderful Word of God song. It's more than enough. Your word is all sufficient. I'm amazed at how your word, it addresses and speaks to every need that we could possibly have in our life. Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, you've given us this particular chapter because it shows us how we should love your word, how we should cherish it and delight in it and meditate in it because of what it does and for us and what it teaches us. And Lord, tonight as we look at this heart cry of David as he cried out in his prayer to you, Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn from this passage. And Lord, I'm thankful that you hold tomorrow. Lord, there's a lot of things that are happening in our country and around the world. There are things that are happening maybe in our own personal lives that may cause concern or anxiety, but I'm thankful, Lord, that you hold tomorrow. I'm thankful that we can draw nigh to you. And I'm thankful, as David said in this particular passage, thou art near, O Lord. Thank you for your nearness to us. And Lord, we love you tonight. And I pray you bless your word. Speak to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice in these first five verses that David was crying out to God. He's crying out. And the first key word is this verb, cried. I don't know if you noticed it, but it was in the first three verses that we read. It was repeated. And this is the Kof Psalm, or the Kof section. That Hebrew letter Kof is like our letter K. And the Hebrew word for cried begins with K. And so this is one of the key words. And this is what it means to call out or to cry out with a loud voice. And then I want you to notice in verse 149 where he says, hear my voice. And voice here, it means to call aloud with one's voice. And so I think you get the idea when you read through these first four verses that David, he is crying out with his voice unto God. That's what he's doing. He's crying out to God. I like what Spurgeon wrote. He said that heart cries are the essence of prayer. Heart cries are the essence of prayer. You know, his prayer was not just his voice crying out, but his heart was crying out. As we see there in that verse 145, I cried with my whole heart. His heart was crying out to God. The heart represents the whole essence of your being. It represents your mind, your will, your emotions. And so when David says that he cried out with his whole heart, it means something. You know what it means is when we cry out with our heart, we're crying out with every fiber of our being. That's what David was doing. With every fiber of his being, he was crying out to God. You know, the mind, the will, the emotions, I said, make up your heart. And so with our heart, we know God. With our heart, we long for God. And with our heart, we cry to God. You know, it's with our heart that we know God. I hope you understand that, because a lot of people, they know about God with their mind. They know facts about God, but they don't know God. You know, salvation with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So salvation is something that comes from the heart. When we with the heart know God, with the heart we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. With the heart we cry out to God for salvation. And here David, he is crying out with his whole heart, praying with every fiber of his being. Here's another Spurgeon quote I want to share. If our whole heart be in our prayers, they will find their way to the heart of God. You know, this is how we ought to be praying, with our whole heart. Our whole heart should be behind our prayers. What was David's heart cry about? What was it all about? What was he crying out to God about? What was it that was on his heart in this section? I want you to notice there in verse 145, he says, hear me, O Lord. This is the first thing he cries out to God. Hear me, O Lord. And this means, God, I want you to respond to my cry. I want you to answer my cry. And then in verse 146, you see Save me. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. So he was crying to God, hear me. And then he cried, save me. And then in verse 149, he said, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. So now he says, quicken me. So hear me, save me, quicken me. These are the things that David was crying out to God about. When you put these three together, here's what I can gather. Looking at this passage, that David's request was not so much about his enemies. He had enemies, verse 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. But his request wasn't so much about that. It wasn't so much about being saved from his enemies as much as it was to be enabled by God to keep his word. The great object, I believe, of David's heart as he was crying out, it was for God to enable him to obey his word. That was his heart cry. God, I want you to help me to keep your word. Because I want you to notice again, he said, hear me, O Lord. And then notice what he says, I will keep thy statutes. Verse 146, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. You know, when he says, quicken me, why would you pray to God, quicken me? Why would you ask God to revive you? Because you have spiritual apathy. Because you need God to come and help you spiritually. Because you become apathetic. Because you need God to revive your spirit. And so I believe that though he may have also been praying for God, deliverance from his enemies, I believe this main thrust of his prayer had to do with God, help me to keep your word. Enable me. He's praying about his spiritual walk with God. And I want to say that God cannot resist prayers that come from a whole heart that desires to do his will. When someone's praying to God, pouring out their heart to God, and that heart desires to do the will of God, God can't resist hearing. And that's the kind of heart we see here in David. He had a heart that was crying out, God, quicken me. God, enable me to keep your testimonies. I was reading something yesterday that Brother Jerry Locke shared. He asked a question. He said, are you praying for God to remove the negative circumstances that have taken over your life? He said, maybe a better prayer would be to ask God to forgive you for neglecting him and change your decision making so you can experience the beginning of a positive lifestyle improvement. I don't know if you get what he's saying, but how often do we pray God to remove all the negative circumstances around us? God, deliver me out of this trouble. God, change my circumstances. God, I want a more comfortable life. What Brother Locke is saying is that it'd be better for us to be praying God to forgive us for neglecting him. So I wonder how often have we prayed with our whole heart for God to revive us, for God to help us to keep his word. The second key word I see in verse 147 and verse 148 is that word prevented or prevent. And it means to go before or to precede. And so when David said, I prevented the dawning of the morning, he's saying that I went before the dawning of the morning. In other words, he got up early before dawn and he cried. He prayed. unto his God. I shared a devotion Monday morning that I was spending time with the Lord in my back porch on Monday morning, and it was just after the sun had come over the horizon. It was beautiful, beautiful morning Monday. I mean, no wind. And I was sitting there. I was actually meditating on this passage. And there's a male robin that came and landed just not far from my chair. And he started hopping even toward me. I think he got as close as 4 or 5 feet. And I just watched him, and he got a couple of worms. It's funny, I don't know how they can find those worms. But he started pecking, and there he had a worm. And he sat there, and it almost be like he's just rolling it up into his mouth. And then he goes over here and he pecks and gets another one. He gets two worms. And then he flies off to go feed his babies. And as I was thinking about that, I was going through this passage, and in verse 147, where he said, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, and I hoped in thy word." And after I'd done my time of meditation, I was doing some reading on this passage, and I read this comment by Spurgeon. He said, "He who is diligent in prayer will never be destitute of hope. Observe that as the early bird gets the worm, so the early prayer is soon refreshed with hope." And I thought, wow, as I read that, I probably read that quote about 10 minutes after that robin got his worm. And I read this phrase, "and the early bird gets the worm." And it's like the Lord was speaking to my heart, and from this verse, that as we go early before God, we get the worm. Go early to the throne of grace to get the worm. I wonder how many of us are like that. David, his heart was so consumed with his desire to cry out to God that he got up long before the dawning of the morning to cry out to God. I know from a lot of us, I'm sure that many of us said, "Well, I'm not a morning person, and I'm not either." But I have learned that getting up early before business starts, before the day starts, before there are distractions, there's sweet time with the Lord. Amen. And there's no substitute. I've not found any substitute in my life. I've not found any other time that would be as special as early in the morning. Later in the morning, it's like there's a lot of distractions that are coming in my mind, and there's, "Well, I need to hurry up and go do this, or I need to do that." There's a lot of wisdom in seeking God early. Amen. And crying out to God early in the morning. What motivated David to do this? What motivated David to rise up so early to pray? I think we could come up with several reasons just right here in this text, and we're going to focus on one of those, but I want to just share several reasons I think David got up early to seek God, to cry out to God, for his heart to cry to God. The first is his love for God. There are a lot of believers around the world that practice this. They get up early to spend time with the Lord because they love him. It's as simple as that. They just love the Lord and they want to spend time with the Lord. I want you to notice what he says in verse 149, he says, "Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness." I want you to notice that phrase, "thy loving kindness." This speaks of God's steadfast love to those who are in covenant with God. If you are in covenant with God, if you don't know what that means, if you've come to Christ and you put your faith in Christ and you've been saved and the blood's been applied, you are in covenant with God. The new covenant, he calls it. And when you're in covenant with God, God makes promises in that covenant, and he's going to keep. He's going to be steadfast in his love. I like Romans 8, where it says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Or, "Who can separate us?" I mean, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. God's love is steadfast. And I like what John wrote in his first epistle. He said, "We love him because he first loved us." So we could just, based on that verse, we could say, well, his heart cried to God because of his love for God. He loved God because God's love for him. But another reason we could say is because of his need. He had a need. He had a need. And in verse 115, "They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law." He had enemies that were enclosing upon him. They were drawing near to him. Their hearts were set on mischief, on doing wickedness. They had no concern for God's law whatsoever. So the need that he had in his life could have caused him to cry out to God with his whole heart, get up before the dawn of day and pour out his heart to God. But near as the enemy might be, God was near. I love it. I love the compare. I don't know if you noticed that, but the next verse, "Thou art near." And these translate pretty much the same root word, "draw near" and "near," or "draw nigh" and "near." And both of them begin with the letter K. And so in the Hebrew, these verses would start with "draw nigh" or "near art thou, Lord." That's how it would start. And so those are also key words. Draw near, draw nigh. And so he says God is near to him. God is near. Even his enemies were drawing near. But he says, "Thou art near, O Lord." God was near. This is one of the great truths for the child of God. We can rest upon this truth and get a lot of comfort that God is near. And just that truth alone should cause us to want to draw near to him. He's a very present help in time of need. Psalm 46:1. He's our refuge. Very present help in time of need. So that could have been a reason, because he knew God was near and God was a refuge. His heart was overwhelmed, so he cried out to God. Cried out to God. But a third reason it'd be his hope. God's word gave him hope, and that hope fueled his prayer life. And that's what I want to focus on. The hope that the Word of God gave him. Because this is the Word of God Psalm. We've got to remember, in every one of these sections, the Word of God is the main theme, the main idea. And in verse 147, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried," notice what he says, "I hoped in thy word." It tells us right there why he got up early. It tells us right there why he went before the dawn to cry out to God, because he hoped in God's word. He had hope that fueled this heart cry that caused him to want to approach God. Hope is a very powerful means of strengthening us in prayer. It's a very powerful encouragement. I mean, after all, would you even pray if you didn't believe that God would hear you? If you had no hope that God would answer your prayer, would you even pray? I imagine you wouldn't. The only way that we go to God is because we have this expectation. And hope, that's what it is. It's an expectation. It's a confident expectation. We have this confidence. You know, going back to Hebrews 10, it says, having therefore boldness. Boldness meaning confidence and assurance. We have this boldness. We have this confidence. We can go into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. That's one of the we haves there in that passage. We have this confidence. We have this boldness. We have a great priest. And so we go to the throne of grace. And this hope that he had caused him to go and pour out his heart to God. But we may ask, where does hope come from? If it was hope that caused them to cry out to God, where did the hope come from? How do we get a heart filled with hope? I want you to notice in verse 148. He said, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. The night watches, back in those days, the night watches, they would have watchmen that would change ships. And here's the times of the night watches. Midnight, 3 a.m., 6 a.m. So I want you to think about what David's saying. He's saying he preceded, or he went before the night watches to meditate in the Word of God. What he's saying is that he... Early he sought not only God in prayer, but early he was meditating in the Word of God before the night watches. He was spending time with God in His Word while his mind was fresh, before anything would distract his thoughts. And as he would meditate in the Word of God, I want you to think about this. Meditate on who God is. His faithfulness. You know, we just sang about that. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I mean, just think about God's faithfulness to give us new mercies every day. And as he would be meditating on these truths about God and these promises that God has given to those that love him, hope would begin to fill his heart. And as the Word of God fueled this hope in his hope cried out to God in passionate prayer. The commentator Trapp, he said, the Word furnished his hope, and his hope his prayer. The Word furnished his hope, and his hope his prayer. If your prayer life is not with the whole heart, if your prayer life is not before the dawning of the morning, it may be because your heart's not filled with hope. It may be because your heart's filled with other things, maybe anxiety, maybe worry. You know, Romans 15:4, this would be a good verse for a memorization verse. A good verse to memorize. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. He goes on to say that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I want you to think of what he said. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Scriptures give us patience. He says, we, through the patience of the Scriptures. The patience he's talking about here is the being able to be steadfast, being able to endure under trial. We get that through the Scriptures. And then he talks about comfort, through the comfort of the Scriptures. Comfort being encouragement. We get encouragement from the Scriptures. We get comfort from the Scriptures. And then he said that we might have hope. We get hope from the Scriptures. The Scriptures give us hope. So if we spend time in the Word of God, if we meditate in the Word, it produces hope. And that hope fuels our cries. Amen. You know, I've said this many times before in other messages that the Word of God fuels our prayer life. And I'm not saying you can't start with prayer. But I found in my own personal time with the Lord that starting with the Word is what fuels my prayer. It's what gives direction to my prayer. It's how I pray for that day. I pray according to the Scripture of that day. It guides and directs my thoughts. And I really believe with all my heart that's how God speaks to us. Primarily, He speaks right through the Word of God. As we spend time with Him, and meditation can be, you know, we're sitting in silence just thinking and maybe silently praying over these truths. And just like I was sharing a moment ago on Monday, that's what I was doing. I was just reflecting on these verses. And then this bird shows up. And God had a word to speak. But I wouldn't have got the lesson had I not been in this passage. And had I not read that quote, I probably would not have got the lesson. I probably would have just looked at the bird and went on throughout my life and my prayer time. But it's in the Word of God that our hope, we get hope. Like if we have needs and we have burdens and we have anxieties and we're praying about people that have needs and we need hope before we pray. You know why? Because our prayer is going to be more passionate. It's going to be more confident. It's going to be more earnest because we're praying according to the Word of God. David said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. And he tells us why. I hoped in thy word. God had given him something, some promise in the Word that he was resting on, that he had a confidence that he could ask God and God would answer. You know, I like what he said in verse 149. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. You know, thy judgment, this is another word for synonym for the Word of God. The Bible contains God's judgments, His justice, His righteousness. It's, you know, I was praying last Saturday, I think it was, yeah. I was praying over that verse, actually, last Saturday, and, oh Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. And as I was praying about that, I was thinking about, you know, judgment meaning just or righteous, justice. And the Lord led me to Hebrews, because we've been in Hebrews 10, and where it says, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. I got thinking that I can come to God with boldness and say, quicken me, because justice was done at the cross. The blood was shed for my sins. My sins have been forgotten. They have been washed away. And so I can pray according to thy judgment. Your judgment at the cross, O God, that paid for my sins. So I come to you by the blood of Jesus, asking you to quicken me. And I believe if we came to God that way and we came with the whole heart means the totality of it, the entirety of our being, every fiber of our being crying out to God, God, I want you to quicken me. If we had a heart desire for that, I believe God would give it. But you know, I wouldn't have that hope apart from the Word of God. If I didn't have Hebrews 10:22 that says, having therefore boldness, brethren, then I wouldn't have hope or confidence to come to God. Because I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not worthy to come in the presence of a holy God. But the Word gives me hope. The Word gives me confidence. Because I know what the Bible says. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I have a great high priest that intercedes for me. A great high priest that died for me. So that hope fueled his prayer. I want to just close with some application questions. When is the last time you cried out to God with your whole heart to deliver you from spiritual apathy? I believe that's what David's prayer is about. God, save me and I shall keep thy testimonies. But if God doesn't save him, he's not going to be able to keep his testimonies. You understand that? In the Old Testament, I don't know if you realize this, but I believe someone did a study on it, and they looked at the word save in the Old Testament, and I believe that, I want to say 90%. It's between 80 and 90%. I'm pretty sure it's 90%, he said. That 90% of the times it's saved in the Old Testament is referring to a physical type of deliverance. Like, save me from my enemies. And so it's talking about a temporal salvation in the Old Testament. But when you come to the New Testament, 80, 90% of the times save is used, it refers to spiritual salvation. Save me from my sins. Save my soul. And so having said that, in this particular verse, David is not saying save me in the sense of saving him from his sins and giving him eternal life. He was already saved in that sense. He's praying for a physical deliverance. And I believe in this context that it'd be like, save me, God, from my apathy. Deliver me from my sins that are dominating my life, so I cannot keep your word. So if you save me, I shall keep. You see the flow of that? I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. So that's why I ask, when is the last time you prayed like that? God, save me from my apathy. Save me from my coldness towards you. Save me from my lack of zeal, as we talked about last week, or lack of heart longing for you. Save me from that, God. I don't know about you, because I struggle with it every day, the old flesh. Save me from myself, God. Save me from my sinful desires. And I shall keep thy testimony. And that goes back to what Brother Locke was saying. We often want God to change our circumstances, but we don't ask God to change us. I don't think I read the last part of what he said. I'm looking. Yeah, let me get this. Sure, he also said this. He said, you can't change your life in a day, but you can change the direction of your life in a moment. You can't change your life in a day, but you can change the direction of your life in a moment. I thought that was really good. When we're asking God to save us, it's not going to change our life in a day, but it will certainly change the direction of our life. The second question, are you an early bird to the throne of grace? Are you an early bird to the throne of grace? David prevented the dawn of the morning and cried because he hoped in God's word. You know, I was thinking of another application of that early bird gets the worm. You know, when we get up early and we spend time with the Lord, we get in His Word, we spend time with Him praying, I guarantee you, you're going to come away encouraged. Amen. If you earnestly seek God, and you get up early, and you get in the Word, and you pray, and you take time to listen to God, it may require an hour, sometimes 2 hours. I mean, you may not even have that much time, but sometimes it takes time, But I guarantee you, you'll get something. You'll get something that nourishes you, that gives you strength for that day. But I was thinking about that robin. After God gave me that application, that robin did not eat those 2 worms. That robin went to feed the babies. And I thought, you know, when we get alone with God and God gives us something, and Miss Trudy was asking this question today on Facebook, what has God given you that you can share with others? And when God gives us something like that in the morning, we should share it. We should share it with others. Share it with your family. Share it with your church members. Share it with your coworkers. Be a repeater, like we're learning in Connect class. Repeat. Share that truth that God shares with you. I don't know how many times that truth has really changed me in the last few months, and times that I would meet someone in need or someone needing prayer. And I was thinking just recently, when Mike called me and told me that he had cancer. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. When he called me, and he called me on Monday after a week ago, Sunday, I think it was, and I'd been in the ER the night before, so he called me and said, How are you doing? I said, well, I could be doing better. And so then he told me his story, and I was like, oh. You know, I wasn't expecting that, but you know what? Immediately the Lord gave me the things I'd been studying and learning in Hebrews about the throne of grace, about drawing near to God. about Christ being a high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so I was able to connect with him with those truths and pray with him through those truths. I mean, that's so powerful. I mean, when God has shown you these things and taught you these things, and you can continue to apply them in your life and share them with others. So be an early bird to the throne of grace and share those truths with others. Third question, do you regularly arise early to spend time meditating on the Word of God? David got up in the night watches, before the night watches, to meditate in God's Word. You know, these are important disciplines. These are important truths for us. And let me share the reason why. Because God's Word fuels hope in our hearts, which in turn fuels our heart, cries to God. So if we would practice these truths, our heart cry to God would be hope-filled. It would be with the whole heart. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful tonight that your word fills our hearts with hope. Life can be hard. Circumstances can be tragic. There can be confusion and anxiety and worry. But I'm thankful, Lord, as we go to your word, that your word gives us patience, helps us to be able to endure those trials, to bear under them. Your word gives us comfort. It gives us the strength that we need, the encouragement that we need to face those trials head on. But even more importantly, they give us hope. As we meditate on your promises and we meditate on your character and who you are, that you're very faithful, that you're a good, you're full of mercy, full of compassion. God, as we think about your justice, we look at the cross and we see that where justice was met for our sins, where our sins were taken away forever with that one sacrifice, where we see that by the blood of Jesus we have boldness to come into the holiest, to come into your very presence. Oh God, we thank you for the truths of your word that give us hope, that give us courage and confidence to come before you, to cry out with our whole heart. I'm thankful that we have so much more than what David had here in Psalm 119. We have direct access into your presence by the blood of Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us. God, save us from our own wandering from you at times. Save us from times that we become cold and complacent in our spiritual walk. God, save us so that we might be able to keep your word. God, help us to pray more concerning our spiritual walk. Lord, to quicken us, to revive us. Lord, I truly believe that when we're revived, that a lot of the things that in our circumstances, we'd like to change. A lot of those things begin to change because we change. God, help us not to neglect being that early bird that gets the word. Lord, help us to go early into your presence on a daily basis, spending time with your word, in your word, meditating and spending time pouring out our hearts, crying out to you. God, thank you for this challenge tonight. Thank you for this reminder that you've given to all of us. Thank you for the blessings that you give us in those times with you, that we can share them with others. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.